Hello, everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts. With your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and...
me, Ruben. somebody called me Ruben on Patreon, and I was like, yes, yes.
Hell yes.
Thank you. All right. My name is actually Raylene that. For anybody out there who's... this is your first time tuning in. It was a joke from last week, so anyway.
I love it. I love it. I want to call you Ruben from now on.
Please.
It's not even a name. That's why I like it. Like,
it's a sandwich.
Is anyone named Ruben? I'm not too sure. Yeah. I'm excited for today's episode. We're going to have right off the bat, but it's actually deep into the episode. We're going to have a story about how much I struggled with one of the recommendation requests this week because I read the wrong one.
Oh, no.
And so when it actually came time to pick a book, I was like, why is she asking me for... oh, my God, I read the wrong one. So
tragic.
We'll talk about that later. I also have some book news that I'm excited about because it's kind of a follow-up to another book news.
Okay.
So, I'm excited for this episode. How's your week going, Raylene?
Pretty good. For people listening to this now, it'll be day two of the reading rush, but
yeah,
for us recording right now, I'm getting so excited about the reading rush.
Yeah.
I get to take like a week and a couple of days off of work to hang out with Ariel and do slightly more fun work, so I'm really, really getting excited. Lots of work is happening right now to make that fun time happen, but we're almost there, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, it is really a lot of work, and I think when people think about it, they're like, oh, well, all they have to do is, like, think up a couple reading challenges. And I'm like, you would think, but somehow I have spent the last 3 weeks nonstop stressing about the reading run.
Yeah, like, it takes so many more hours than you would think this event would take to run, but it takes so much
just to make sure that every day, every few hours, there's something fun happening, that our website is, you know, like... as of right now, we have over 5,000 users that have signed up to our website. So, like, making sure that the website and everything is working well and, like, literally down to the tiny details of last night, Raylene and I called for an hour to start scheduling tweets so that every few hours, like, a tweet is going up with relevant information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how, like, much stuff we have to do. So it's definitely been overwhelming, but I'm so excited for it to start too. It's fun, like you said, when they're hearing this, it's in the middle of it. So I hope that it's working.
We should be having a good time at that point.
Yeah. And I'm so excited for Raylene to visit. I bought some chairs. I'll make sure to post a photo on the Patreon, and I'll post it so that anyone can see it, even if you're not a patron, but I'll post a photo of these chairs that I bought for Raylene and I, that I'm pretty hyped on. I have this vision of Raylene and I reading outside, and I was like, well, usually I read outside on a blanket, like I just put a blanket out, and I'm like, that's nice, but it's not good for like long term.
No,
my back starts
me too.
To hurt.
I get pain.
Exactly. So I was like, I started looking for like lawn chairs, beach chairs, like whatever, like outdoor chairs, and I found these two that I'm so hyped on, and they came and they're so comfortable, and I just, one is pink and one is blue. I imagine you sitting on the blue one for some reason.
Okay, I like that.
Me sitting on the pink one.
Works for me.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. Actually, that reminds me, I have another photo that I'm going to share on the Patreon. Okay. I'll do one post, don't worry, I'll do two photos in one post. Do you remember in a Books Unbucket episode, that's our like mini podcast that we make for patrons, but on one of the episodes we were talking about like categories we would want to create if we had unlimited shelving space.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so the one that I talked about that I really wanted was like a section of books about the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Of course.
I made it. It's now on my shelves. So I kind of, how do I explain this without being so boring and talking about bookshelf organization? But like, I kind of, my books were on the edge of my shelves and I pushed them all back so that they're on now like all against the wall.
Oh yeah.
You'll see this in the photo, but it kind of created more space in the corner that wasn't being utilized.
Ooh.
So I was able to move things around a little bit and have enough room for this internet section. So I'm super excited about that. I'll send a photo because I kind of feel like that was a follow-up, you know,
definitely
to our Books on Bucket. But let's jump in, Raylene. What the heck are you currently reading? You're gonna be mad at me when I tell you what I'm currently reading.
Also, that was the wrong first question, but okay, I can answer.
Oh my God,
it if
you're
you
right.
want
no I want to do it I want to do it with the new method. I think it's better. What was the last book you finished?
Okay, so this is going to be super random, but also I can't believe that we've had a podcast this long and I haven't talked about one of my top favorite manga.
Oh,
so
okay.
I read Because I just wanted to read something quick. I was, like, panicking about, like, what am I going to read before the reading rush? I should just maybe read some manga. And now I'm not reading manga, but I read one manga before what I'm currently reading. And that is Volume 20 of Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma. This is a great manga, a great anime. It's kind of, like, a weird and hard to describe to people type of manga because it's basically it's about this guy named Soma who goes to this academy for cooking. Like, his dad is a chef and they have a family restaurant, and then his dad is like, go off to this school, go learn how to be a proper chef. And so it's all about this guy, like, you know, who loves cooking, learning to cook better and interacting with people who cook. But it's also, like, very fan service-y. So for people who don't know what that means, it means there's lots of, like, shots of nearly naked people and, you know, very interesting photos, basically, of people. And because what happens in the manga is anytime someone eats something that is so, so delicious, their clothes just fly off.
Oh my god.
But they only fly off if it was very, very delicious. So if something is just average.
This would only happen in the world of manga and anime.
I know.
Like, it's just such a, I don't know why they are allowed to get away with these insane things that would never happen in, like, North American or European animation. So funny.
It is hilarious. And it is one of the most, like, detail-oriented manga and anime I've ever read or watched. Like, there's so much detail that goes into, like, every single dish that people make and, like, the creations of everything. It's, like, it's so smart. And, like, they obviously, you know, talk to real chefs who, like, know a lot about, like, the science of food. And it's very, very interesting in that way. And I'm a person who has grown up watching cooking shows. Like, that's my favorite type of thing to watch. If I could only watch one type of YouTube video or TV show for the rest of my life, it would be cooking. I don't know why I love it.
It would be house shows. Grew up, me and my mom, watching house shows, you know, like house renovation, buying an apartment abroad, House Hunters International, Love It or List It, that kind of great. People that know, they know. So I feel you. I feel like the housing and the cooking are very adjacent.
Yeah, I would definitely stay up late watching cooking shows, and then sometimes it would go into a house show. So I've definitely seen lots of those too. So yeah, that's just, like, my favorite genre of stuff. And so I really love this manga. Every single volume has been amazing so far. I'm 20 volumes in, and I'm trying to catch up to where the anime is, because the anime is farther ahead than where I am currently in the book. So I just read that and was like, it made me really happy. So that's the last thing I read. I think that's the only thing I finished, though. So you're up next.
That's really fun. I was just gonna say, though, that the anime that I think of when I think of, like, fan service and stuff is Free Swim. Have you seen that one?
Oh, Free, yeah, that one's good.
Yeah. I thought it was really fun. I think I only saw, like, the first season. It was really fun, but it was, like, that kind of thing where, like, it's teenage boys in a swimming club and every
and they're all
shots,
ripped.
They all just tear off their clothes to go swimming, and it's just like, that would never happen here. Like, it's just, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Okay, well, had I finished Sheets, my rereading of Sheets last week?
I think so, but now I can't remember. Let's say yes.
Well, if I have, then I haven't read anything
else. Oh, that's fine. It's been a busy week, as we've said.
It has been a very busy week. I have found that my reading has been very erratic and very, like, non-committal. Like, I'll read for, like, 20 pages of something, and then I'll be like, it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
I just, like, put it down, and I'm like, my brain can't right now. I'm really excited for when you come, because I actually think we're going to read a lot.
Yeah, we read a lot last year, even though we were very busy with lots of stuff, like shipping out merch and all the other things that we had to do last minute. But we're preparing a lot more in advance this time around. So I feel we're going to read a lot. We both read Perks of Being a Wallflower. You read Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me.
Great book.
You read at least two books, and I read, like, at least two books. So I think we'll do better than that this year. That's my goal.
I think you're right. So I'm really excited for you to come. I think this is going to be the most I've read during a reading rush, because usually, like, I'm doing so much stuff, but this time we've really done a great job of prep. Well, we think. We'll find out.
I guess
we'll see. Done a good job of prepping in beforehand to make sure stuff is ready. So, that, like you said, we're not having to do it during each day. So I haven't really read that much, but let's transition into talking. If I didn't finish Sheets last week, that was the thing that I finished, but I do think I did, but I really loved my reread of it. Absolutely hyped for the sequel, and I'm just really excited about that world. I just, rereading it made me Yeah, I think I did talk about it because I think I remember saying how, like, rereading this book made me love graphic novels again. What I mean? Like, I've read a couple graphic novels that were nice and good, but then I reread Sheets and I was like, this is what an incredible graphic novel is, right? Like,
I think I'm definitely going to have to read it next week.
I think you should. Like, I've got it. I've got it right here, man.
I'm going to do it. I'm deciding. I've started packing up my books that I'm going to bring with me, and I already have like 12, and I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just bringing lots.
I love that. Well, let's jump into what we're currently reading. If we haven't finished anything, what are you actually reading? Like I said, you're going to be mad at me because I'm not reading any of the things that I said I would read or that I'm supposed to read.
I kind of love that, though. It doesn't make me mad anymore. It makes me excited. I can't wait to hear what you're reading. Okay, well, I'm excited to talk about what I'm currently reading, too, because I'm reading two really interesting books right now. The first one is Digital Minimalism.
Hell yeah. I guess we're going to talk about this one together a little bit.
We may as well. Because are you reading it as well right now still?
Yeah, I guess so that was going to be one of the books that I talked about. I posted a video like a month ago, a few weeks ago. I don't know, the same time. So I posted a video. And, yeah, was it just this morning? where I talked about that week that I took off of social media.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked about that loads on the podcast, so I'm sure you guys remember. But during that week, I read a bunch of internet-y books. And then I made this video where I was like, I've read all these internet-y books, and I thought a lot about being offline. And if you guys have any book recommendations, please recommend them down in the comments. And more than ever before, I had a lot of people recommending one book, and they were recommending Digital Minimalism. And I was like, heck, I'll look this up. I looked it up on Libby, on my library app. And it was like, my library had it, but I had to wait like 18 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine. I'll read other stuff in the meantime. And then the other day, Raylene was like, hey, I just got Digital Minimalism. And I was like, what? And you were like, yeah, I got the audiobook. I was like, how? I've been waiting like 4 weeks for it, and I still have 18 weeks to go.
I hacked
and
you the were system.
Like, I don't know. I just have it. And I was like, well, whatever. I'll just buy it. And so I bought it because I've been so excited about it. And then when you were reading it, or like, I didn't know if you were going to start it or whatever, but I was so excited that I was like, I want to too. So you started it and I started it like literally the same day or like within the same 2 days, which is really fun. So how are you liking it so far?
I'm really liking it. I don't know exactly at what point in the book I'm at, maybe like 40% of the way through. I listened to a whole bunch the other day while I was cross stitching. Very on brand for me. And I am really loving it. Like, he talks about so many different things, even just in the first little bit. Like, he references Walden by Thoreau and like talks about Walden quite a lot, which is very weird because Walden is supposed to be my next book club read with my In Real Life book club. And I was like, oh my god, this is very interesting. It makes me want to pick it up sooner.
That's
because he even
so
talks
interesting.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed the section on Walden. That's actually where I'm in right now.
Okay,
like just finishing talking about Walden. I'm only like an hour and a half into the audiobook.
Okay,
so you're definitely
I've
farther
listened to
ahead.
A little bit more then.
Yeah, but that's the section I'm in right now, and I'm finding it so interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And he also, you know, he apparently conducted an experiment kind of where he would ask a bunch of people to go offline for 30 days and then kind of report back and see what happened. And so he talks about lots of different specific people and what their experiences were in different ways that you can cut back on, you know, using your phone and whatnot, or you can like completely go off it. You know, there's lots of different ways that people can do it. And he talks about all those different experiences. And I think later in the book, he's going to give some more tips on like how to feasibly do it. Like if you want, and it's funny because we're both doing that. We're doing it for 30 days.
Well, exactly. And I think that's why we both jumped on it when we did, like as quickly as we did. You said that somebody recommended it to
us. Somebody emailed us. Sorry, I don't have the email in front of me, but yeah, somebody emailed us saying that this book is the perfect thing to read before taking time off social media because he explains like ways to do it. So it's kind of like an instructional guide as well as like, you know, just giving more background information on in lots of different ways. So it's,
because in the introduction of the book, he basically is like, so here's what I'm going to do. Part one is I'm going to talk about what digital minimalism is. Mm-hmm. And then part two is I'm going to tell you like things that you can do to try it out for a month. So it literally, like you said, it seems really perfect. I think if you want like the thesis statement of the book, basically he is advocating that you have a philosophy of technology. That's like a concept that he keeps talking about, a philosophy for technology where It's like, why are you on technology? So I guess what I'm really appreciating about the book is he's being very critical and asking you questions. Like, it's really making me ponder stuff, you know? Yeah. And he's like, if you use technology, which you do if you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
If you use technology, why do you use it? How do you use it? When? For what purposes? What value do you get from it? And by figuring out what are all the pros, like the positives for you, then figure out what are the best ways for you to get those positives, mm-hmm. and then not spend any extra time online. So through this, he's pushing for this idea of like basically digital minimalism, because obviously minimalism, like Maria Kondo style, of course you're going to like this book, really, and you love Maria Kondo. Maria Kondo style is the idea is, you know, only keep the things that spark you joy, or that spark joy in you. I guess you could kind of say that Cal Newport is kind of talking about, like, only go on the websites that spark joy, or only go on there for as long as it sparks joy. You know what
totally.
I mean? So
yeah.
That's like a kind of another way to think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he even had one example of a guy who would spend hours and hours just like scrolling through news sites to get information, and it made him really sad. Like, just spending all this time and just being like, oh, you know, so much sad news, whatever. But instead, what he did is he just subscribed to a couple of different like news sites or whatever that would just send like a little email being like, oh, so this
newsletter.
Is the news. Yeah, a newsletter. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. You don't have to spend any time doing the searching.
No.
You just read the news that you want, and then you go about your day. And I was like, that is such a great example of like, because the biggest problem I have with social media is just sitting there scrolling. Like, what am I looking for? I don't know what I'm looking for. And that's what I need to confront in myself. I think this month off.
That's my favorite. Yeah. What am I looking for? I think that's so apt. Because you know, I obviously just finished reading 10 reasons or arguments for deleting your social media. And it was a similar thing where it was talking about how like these apps just want to keep you there. And if you can identify why it is that you use those apps, and then you can just use them for those things, mm-hmm. you don't need to be using them excessively. And the news one was something that Jaron Lanier talked about in his book too, and it made me subscribe to Wired, because I love Wired magazine. I think they're so interesting and very varied. Like, they have news about all sorts of technology and stuff, and I think it's so interesting. So I was like, you know what, I believe in paying for journalists to do good news. You know what I mean? I hate clickbait journalism. Everyone talks about how journalism is dead, and it's because of social media, right? Like, in large part. And it's because it's created a world where people care about the headline more than they care about the article. And so I'm like, I don't want to support that. And therefore, I don't want to support finding my news on social media sites that are not built to support, like, real news and facts.
Yeah.
So I was like, of course I should be paying for my news. What are we talking about? This is something that I've been thinking about a lot. And also, it was talked about in the Jaron Lanier book more, but it's kind of idea of like, we've all been trained to think we shouldn't pay for stuff, and that's probably not good.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
Because, you know, the thing that we're selling is our data. So anyway, I'm really glad that you're enjoying it, because I'm also really enjoying it. And I'm excited to hear how we feel when we both finish it. Do you have like a goal for when you want to finish it? Like, before you come here, or like really soon?
Yeah, I was thinking either finish it before I come up, or I'll finish it while I'm driving to your house. So I'll definitely be finished it by the time I get to you.
So true. Yes. Raylene lives about 4 hours away from me. So that's perfect. You're right.
It's going to be great. Well, I'm also reading another book actually, though.
Yeah.
That is just my audio book. But the day before yesterday, I think I started reading Beach Read by Emily Henry.
I was gonna ask you about this, because I knew you were so excited about it, and obviously you had so many problems getting it. Like, it just took so long to ship to you. And then obviously just life happened, but you hadn't started it yet, and you're better at sticking to the things you're gonna read than I am. So I was like, how's she not read this yet?
Yeah, well, and it was my next book, like, sitting on my shelf, like, I'm gonna read this next. And then I kind of like questioned myself. I was like, do I feel like reading it? And I was like, just do it. And so I've picked it up, and I'm about 120 pages in, and I'm really liking it so far.
Yay.
It's super good. I'm enjoying it. It's quite funny. The characters have like this great banter, and they're like really clever. Like, they're both writers, so obviously they're not idiots. But they're both successful authors. And so it's very interesting, though, because the two main characters have, like, they write very different types of books. So they kind of like poke fun at each other a lot for like the things that they write. And like, one of them writes really dark, like, literary fiction, and the other writes rom-coms. And so they kind of just like make fun of each other a lot. And it's really, kind of cute and fun, and I love the kind of beachside or like lakeside house type of setting. It's very cool.
I love it.
I could really picture it as a movie, even though I like have just started it. It just feels like the perfect book to be made into a movie. So fingers crossed. But yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, I'm really excited for you to read that one also, because I want to read it. As you know, I bought it because I was so excited when you talked about it. So I really hope you like it, because if you don't, I would be like so stressed out.
So sad.
I'd be like, well, am I gonna read it now? Although, to be fair, I've heard a lot of other people really like it too.
Yeah.
I think my friend Noelle read it and really liked it, and like a couple other people, and so I'm like,
I think even you've got to do it. Although
I
can't imagine you reading a romance book for some reason. I feel like you don't read a lot of romance, so
I don't.
I'm really intrigued to see what you think.
I'm in no way against the genre. It's just not the thing that like excites me, I guess. You know, maybe also because I watch like not like a lot, but I really enjoy rom-com as movie genre.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Maybe I'm kind of getting my fix in rom-coms, and I don't really care about also reading about that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We'll
I feel
see.
That.
Well, the other book that I'm reading apart from Digital Minimalism, which I guess we're kind of doing a buddy read of by accident, it's completely random.
Okay.
I wonder if you've heard of it. It's called Self Care by Lee Stein.
Doesn't ring a bell, but maybe I've heard of it.
So it just came out this week.
Oh,
or
okay.
Last week.
That's cool.
It's brand new. I heard about it. I don't even remember where I saw it. I heard about it somewhere and I looked it up and I thought that it sounded so good. And so I reached out to the publicist and they sent me an e-galley of it. And I was like, okay, thank you so much. So shout out to Penguin for sending me a galley. But I started reading it. I'm only like 40 pages in because of aforementioned this difficult week. But I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm super intrigued about it. One of the characters I'm finding really annoying, but she's supposed to be annoying. So let me say the concept.
Yeah, yeah.
The concept is it's a satire and kind of mocking the world of wellness and girl bossness and like influencer culture.
Oh, cool.
But not in a way, because it's been a crazy day, let me tell you. But one of the things that I did today was I actually jumped on a Zoom call that Penguin hosted for this book.
Oh, cool.
And it was the author, the publicist, the editor, and then a couple of like random book influencers and other authors and stuff. And it was kind of like a press event during COVID, if you know what I mean.
Wow, yeah.
And it was really interesting. I got to ask a few questions and learn more about the book. And what I think was really great is that the author talks about how, you know, she's poking fun at it, but it's because she also cares about this world. Like, she does yoga, right? Like, she does self-care. But certain aspects of this girl boss world are so cringy and, like, need to be examined more. So the basic idea is these two women co-founded a company, and the company is called Ritual. Like Ritual, but like R-I-C-H, Rich.
Ah.
Like, it's a pun. And it's an app that is like where you share that you're doing yoga and like what are your self-care tips and like all this sort of stuff, right? And they make money through selling other self-care products. So that's their whole app and stuff. The book starts, and this is what like got me, where I was like, when you hear me say what it is, you'll be like, of course Ariel wanted to do that. The book starts when the main character tweeted something controversial and got all sorts of like pushback for it. And the main concept for the book is that her other co-founder, the company kind of decides to send her away, like to take her off of her phone for a month.
Oh.
You're not allowed to go online, and like we really want you to go to this cabin to retreat into the woods. And so it's about all of those things. And I'm like, I love reading about internet culture, cancel culture, thinking about how we use social media and how it affects our lives. And getting to chat with the author, she was so nice, super interesting, very funny. So I had a really good time. So thanks
That's awesome.
To Penguin for inviting me to that. And I'm really excited about this book. This is in no way sponsored. Like I said, I reached out to them and then they were like,
give me that book.
Yeah, like I reached out to them and they were like, also in a couple of days, we're doing this if you want to come to this. And I was like, what fortuitous timing. So yeah, it was all a very big coincidence. But yeah,
that
I'm really
cool.
Also, You have to look up the book because I hope to get a physical copy of it soon. But it's a beautiful cover. It's like really pink, and Ooh. It just has like a bottle that looks like goop. You know, goop.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow's goop. It looks like one of the products that they would sell, but then it's like oozing black, and it's kind of like
cool.
A little stressful. I really love
that. I love that vibe.
Well, we did it. Okay, we talked about what we finished. We talked about what we're currently reading. Do you have a book haul this week? That's kind of
become a thing. I actually do. Like I mentioned last week, I ordered a bunch of books, and I would say some half of them have come. Almost half of them have come. I'll make it quick. So last week, I briefly talked about The Promised Neverland and how I love that anime. I got the first two volumes of the manga. Oh, so fun. Really excited about that. I got a manga called I Had That Same Dream Again by Yoru Sumino. This is by the same author who wrote I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. You've probably seen that on Goodreads. Maybe you haven't. But this one actually has a cat on the front. So pretty Classic. Excited about that. And it's another one that's like a complete manga collection. So it's a big fatty. I love fat manga. And last but not least, I finally picked up a physical copy of Stamped from the Beginning by Ibram X. Kendi.
Oh my god, it's huge. It's
massive.
Whoa.
It's truly massive. It makes sense now that it was an 18-hour long audiobook.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's over 500 pages and it's very dense. So
yeah, it looks dense.
I'm really
heavy.
Yeah, it's a big boy, but luckily it's out in paperback now, so I was able to get the paperback. So I picked that guy up. It's funny, when the package came, I thought that there was going to be two books in there, and then
it was
so fat, and then I was like, "Oh, I see." I'm just glad I've already read this book. Otherwise, I'd be so daunted just by looking at it. But yeah. I hope to read it again one day and, you know, mark it up and take notes and whatnot, because that's why I bought it. So, yeah,
totally.
That's my book haul.
Well, I got a couple new books, but I just filmed a book haul. So I feel like I should do a good job of supporting my own career and telling everyone to go and watch my book haul.
That's a great idea. I like that.
That should hopefully be up now. Yeah, by the time this comes up, it should definitely be up. So go watch my book haul. Support my channel, Ariel Bissett. Just look me up. Okay, what else? Okay, yeah, so I don't have a book haul. So it's time to jump into book news. Oh, I'm excited. I'm actually very excited. Let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, Raylene. So, book news. Take it away. What is your book news today? I think you know what my book news is because we texted about it.
We did? Oh, I think I know what you're going to say. I was like, what? So my book news is about Colson Whitehead. I don't know if you heard, but he won an award today or yesterday.
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not hear.
It was just announced that he won the Library of Congress Prize for American Fiction, which is... Okay, this prize is pretty prestigious, and it's like a lifetime achievement prize. So the fact that he has won it after only having two books is pretty impressive. And apparently he's 50 years old, which makes him the youngest winner of this prize.
Isn't that so funny?
That is
hilarious. The world of authors is so different than any other like pop culture thing, where it's like musicians, like when they're... You know, like all musicians are so young and they're winning Grammys when they're like 17.
I know.
And like... actors are like doing their best movies when they're 25, but not authors. Authors are like, he's so young, he's only 50.
Yeah, I think that's partially because this is like a lifetime achievement award, so most people probably win it when they're like in their 70s or 80s after writing 20 books. But he has only written two books. Both of them have won the Pulitzer Prize though, which is pretty cool. The prize has previously been given to Toni Morrison, Philip Roth, Dennis Johnson, among others. So it's pretty cool that he won that. And let me see if there was anything else that
I wanted to mention. It sounds very American. The Library of Congress Award.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, that's pretty much my whole news. I just thought it would be cool to highlight that event. Or not event.
No, I like that. I think that's cool. I like hearing about book prizes.
There are so many, and I don't always know about them. So
there really are. You know what? That should be a goal of ours one day, to have a Books Unbound prize. We'll like make up stickers, and we'll just get everyone to go put them on that book.
The Books Unbound prize.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, I own The Underground Railroad by him, and I've owned it for many a year, and I have not read it yet. But I know John Green and Hank Green both really like him as a writer. Like, they've mentioned him a few times on their podcast, and every time they talk about it, about that book, I'm like, how have I not read it yet?
Right. I really want to read his books, too.
Yeah. Well, What was my book news? Oh, yeah. My book. I'm excited about my book news. My book news is about the sequel to Ready Player One. So, if you will recall, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, Raylene, did you know about the Ready Player One thing? And you were like, Ariel, that's old news. And I was like, oh, rat. Well, now it's new news again.
Yep.
Because it's been announced. We have a title, we have a cover, and we have a release date.
Hell yeah.
So, the book is going to be called, and I am so proud of them
for being so bold.
The book is going to be called Ready Player Two, which... I love it. I love it. It's cringy. It is cringy. It's a little bit kind of like a little cheesy. But it's like it's you could have called perfect. It
anything else.
Yeah, but it's perfect. You know what I mean? Like, it really is perfect. Yeah. Of course it's called Ready Player 2. That's the same screen as Ready Player 1 is where it will say Ready Player 2 on a video game. So I absolutely love the name. I think that it's a real tongue-in-cheek, and I think it's really funny. The cover is very beautiful. I do have a little problem with the cover in that it's clearly meant to match the hard cover of Ready Player One. That's
my problem too.
And I have the paperback of Ready Player One. And I am not going to get the hardcover of Ready Player One because I really like the paperback edition. Like, I think the art on the front is really cool and I love the orange spine. I'm attached to that book. So I'm not going to, I don't know. I'm a little stressed out about it. I'm not going to lie to you, Raylene. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I mean, I do know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy the book and read it and be kind of annoyed about it and then forget about it, I guess.
Yeah, but that sounds I hope about that right. They
I hope that they make the cover of the paperback match the Ready Player One paperback and not just like a paperback version of this cover.
Yeah.
If you know
but
what
you
I
know
mean.
What? Now that you said that, I feel like that's what they're going to do. Like they're going to make it the exact same as the hardcover and it's going to be so sad.
But why didn't they do that for the Ready Player One?
I don't know. I don't know. Publishers have crazy brains.
They have crazy ideas. And then probably the biggest news is that it's coming out in November.
I know.
Which is so soon. I'm guessing that this is probably feeling kind of strange because of COVID. Like, maybe they were going to announce this earlier, but then COVID happened and they didn't want to announce it. And then Black Lives Matter has erupted more, like, recently. And so they're like, maybe the publicist didn't feel like it was an appropriate moment. I don't know what it could have been. But, like, I feel like they probably would have announced this sooner if the world was in its more calm version of being. But it's so soon. November?
It's very soon. I know, it's funny that it's all happening, like, so suddenly, because this news has been, like, kind of out there for, like, 2 years. Ooh. And now, just all of a sudden, you talked about it, and then suddenly we get all of the title and everything. So I think that you triggered something in the universe.
Yeah, that's right. Books Unbound has the power to call on sequels.
I think that's
so as a help, I'm now calling on George R. R. Martin's sequel. I'm going to call on Patrick Rothfuss's sequel for you.
Oh my god, you're amazing.
and are we awaiting any other sequels, like, desperately? I don't think we are.
No, those are the two at the top of my brain.
I was going to say A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor, but I've got that one. That's a thing that I have. Which I was going to talk about. I obviously haven't finished reading An Absolutely Remarkable Thing, so I haven't moved on to A Beautiful Foolish Endeavor yet. And I haven't read Dig yet, so...
She's chaos walking.
Wait, have you read Dig?
Yeah.
Did you talk about it?
Oh, well,
yeah, you did.
Did
you
I? Did I don't remember. I don't want to talk about it too much. I never want to talk about our book club ones too much. So.
No, it's true. I agree. I totally agree. Cool. Well, that's the book news. That's the book news segment, everyone. We're now moving on to recommendations. Let's go. All right. So, Raylene, we should start it with yours. And this was the one that tried to kill me.
Because
basically, every week, Raylene and I pick a recommendation request from our spreadsheet that I've created, and we text it to each other. This week, Raylene did something slightly different, where you sent me a photo of your computer screen.
Yeah.
And you did highlight the one that you meant, but I guess my eyes read the one under or above it.
Oh, no.
And I just kind of was like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, I can do that. And today, I was like, oh, gosh, gotta go get Raylene's book. What was that again? And I start reading it, and it's about musical theater. And I'm like, what? 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 And I was like, I read the wrong one because I did not, was not prepared for this.
Oh, I'm so
I actually
sorry.
Really struggled. But please, read it aloud.
Okay, so this one comes from Ashley, and she says, "Hello, I wanted to say I love your podcast and have enjoyed so many of the books you have recommended." Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
"This recommendation request is a little different from others, but it is something I love to think about as a musical theater nerd. I was wondering what books you both think would adapt well to a musical. Keeping in mind things like how songs could be used to convey plot points and assist in character development, or even how the novel setting could be made for the stage." So, I love this one. I thought it was such a creative question, and
yeah,
so I really loved it. I'm curious to hear your story regarding this.
I mean, here's my story, and I all love to Ashley. I mean, Ashley even put such a beautiful sentence there at the beginning. I just really don't like musicals. I'm not gonna say I'm anti-musical. Obviously,
there's not probably everyone an can exception. Like them.
I sat down and I was like, there is a musical that I like, I'm sure. Let me think of it. And I couldn't. I asked my boyfriend, I was like, is there a musical that I like? And he's like, why, what? No, you don't like musicals. No. I was like, it's true, I don't. And I was like, I don't know. What can I say? I just find them very frustrating when people start to sing. And I'm like, can you just have a conversation and then move on to the next scene? I don't want to listen to a song right now. Like, I just find that very frustrating. So for my own brain, it doesn't really work. But I thought of an exception.
Okay.
The exception is Disney movies. When Disney movie, like, characters, like in The Lion King or Ariel the Little Mermaid or stuff, when stuff like that happens and they start to sing, I don't mind it. I love it. You know, it's Disney.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let me find something that I think could be turned into a Disney movie and they sing in the Disney movie. So this isn't for the stage, but this is the best that I can do, my friends. So I decided to choose a book that I thought could be turned into a Disney movie that had songs in it. And I also wanted to pick something that I haven't really talked too much about on the podcast. And this is what I chose. Anya's Ghost by Vera Brosgul. So
okay.
I've got a couple lines of thinking here. I very much can imagine this graphic novel being a movie because I can imagine it like Coraline, you know, okay, like yeah. Very like a Neil Gaiman-y type,
a little spooky,
Tim Burton-y kind of spooky movie. And I could imagine the ghost having songs. And there's a couple different moments and different settings here that I think could allow themselves to be songs. The truth is, though, that I'm grasping at straws here. I started looking at my bookshelves, and I was like, well, I don't, and this is when I realized, like, I just don't understand musicals, right? Because yeah. I was like, where would they put the songs? It's like, what would the songs be about? So you know what? I don't feel like I have ever failed one of these recommendations until today. This is my first failure. I just don't know the musical world. I don't really like them. So I couldn't imagine my favorite books being turned into musicals because I was like, I don't want to watch
them. That's totally fair.
I tried, Raylene, but I'm not feeling too good about it.
It's okay. I've definitely failed recommendations before, like probably more than twice. So I feel like you're doing okay. Okay, well, then let me jump into
mine. Save the day.
Yeah.
Save the day.
This one, it was also, like, kind of tricky for me because I was trying to think of, like, the perfect musical recommendations.
Sure.
Just for reference, my favorite musicals are a Harry Potter musical, of course, as well as Les Mis. Like, I love both of those so much. The music, the story, everything is like, oh! Anyway, so those are my two favorite musicals. But the books that I picked two books for this, are kind of totally random. So the first one is a book I read and talked about recently, and that is The Deep by Rivers Solomon. This
yeah.
one, okay, it would be tough because obviously all the characters are mermaids, but there have been stage productions of The Little Mermaid, so I feel like it's fine.
And they can figure it out.
Yeah, the book is so heavily kind of focused around music already that I feel like it's meant to be a musical because a lot of the characters, you know, like music is kind of part of their identity and it's part of how they communicate and all this stuff. And it's how they kind of hold on to memories and stuff. So it's very, very musical based anyway. And I feel like it would be really cool to have like a full black cast musical about mermaids. Like, why the heck not? So that was my first selection. But the second one is one that just kind of came to me and I feel like it's just so perfect. And I've already talked about this book a lot, so I won't go too much into it, but it's The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Oh, okay. I'm very interested to hear why.
Yeah, so this is basically about a journalist who is interviewing an aged Evelyn Hugo, a former kind of Hollywood star. She's basically Marilyn Monroe, for quick reference.
Yeah.
And but she is now, at the present day, she's an old woman and she's reclusive and is hiding from the world. So I feel like it would be very interesting as a musical, because there would be old Evelyn Hugo kind of telling her story, and I feel like she could definitely break into song at many different times, you know, telling her story. Because I feel like musicals, a lot of the times the songs are them telling a story through music. And
yeah,
so,
that's true.
And so I feel like that would be a good way for her to, like, get that across. But then there would also be young Evelyn Hugo just going through her life, and you getting to see all the different things that happened to her and all the different people she was married to, which is kind of what forms the story. And yeah. So you'd get, I feel like there would be so many great songs in there, and it would be really cool to have, like, the contrast of old Evelyn Hugo and young Evelyn Hugo both singing, and sometimes they could have a duet somehow, because that's how musicals work, yeah. You know? I feel like it would just be, like, a really grand stage production, and there would be lots of, like,
yeah.
The set would basically just look like a movie set for a lot of it, and, like, the streets of Hollywood and stuff like that. So I feel like it would be a kind of a cool, like, glamorous kind of musical. And since I thought of it, I was like, this has to happen. This would be really cool. So,
yeah, actually, I think that what you're saying really makes a lot of sense to me for a lot of, you know, I feel like musicals have really strong main characters, like, mm-hmm. like main characters that are really interesting, really rich, and really deep, and because they need to sing about their lives. Do you know yeah. what I mean? Like, you need a character who's got a lot of force behind them if they're going to then start singing about their
totally.
Life. So I feel like that sounds really perfect.
Yes. Ooh, Mamma Mia, that's my other favorite musical. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you see, I started it and I couldn't finish it.
I've seen it live 3 times. It's so much better on the stage than on the movie. But yeah, anyways, it's great.
Oh, God. I try. I mean, I really try. Like, I've seen musicals in New York, and I always have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's fun. But I never leave it thinking, wow, I'm going to listen to the soundtrack. Which is, like, what it seems to me that people are doing.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
They, like, get excited about the songs. I'm like, but they don't make sense out of context. I'm like, why are you singing this song? That's part of a larger text.
I love this. I love this side of you. This is so funny.
I don't like to be a downer, Aileen, but you know what? I've got to speak my truth.
Of course. I'm so glad to know this about you now. It's enlightening.
Oh, man. Well, okay. Let me move on to my recommendation. Hopefully we do a better job on this one. I mean, you did a great job.
Thanks, man.
It's more about me here. I'm trying to save face here. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation comes from Maggie, and she asks, I'm looking for recommendations for venturing out of YA. There's too many to choose from. I've enjoyed books such as Between Shades of Grey, The Little Prince, Divergent, a little bit of everything, honestly. Please help. So I really like this one because I really relate to this, and I think that you do too, yeah. actually, because both of us went through periods where, like, all we read was YA.
Yeah.
For years, especially when you were on BookTube back then.
It was all...
We were both teenagers,
yeah.
and we were both just, like, only reading YA. And then we started to breach out and started to, like, branch out and reach out and, like, be like, what else is there out here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think some books are a bit more cohesive for that step. Like, some books are a bit like a plunge and you're like, okay, I don't know if I was ready for that. But
yeah.
some are kind of have a bit of that YA flavor that make them a bit more accessible. So I'm excited to hear what you picked. You go first.
Okay. So I've probably said this before, but I feel like when people are wanting to get into adult fiction from primarily reading YA, I feel like the best transition is to read adult fiction that is about young characters. Because I feel like
Ooh, okay,
that's kind
yeah.
of my go-to. I feel like that
that's
just
smart.
Works the best. Because some people even categorize adult books that have young characters as YA just because they have young characters. And I'm like, no, no, no. That's not always true.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, so sounds like Maggie likes a lot of different kinds of books, so I've recommended, mm-hmm. or I've chosen a couple of different things. The first one being Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. Like, that just seems like
classic.
The most obvious next step for people to read. If you like sci-fi, yeah. you like dystopian, you've got to read Ready Player One. It's, you know, about a teenager or a guy who's young enough that he's basically a teenager anyway. And so
yeah.
It has that young vibe, and it's very hip and cool and pop culture-y. So I feel like that one's really good. But next, into some other books that I really like, and the first one being Room by Emma Donoghue.
Oh.
This one is about a very young character, so it's not really, like, it doesn't have the young adult vibe to it, but this is one that I know you and I both read as, you know, I think we were teenagers probably when we first read this book, and it appealed to us, so I feel like that was, like, history telling us that this is a good recommendation, and I've reread it recently. I reread it a couple of years ago, and it was so, so good. So it's one that... It is about a five-year-old boy who lives in a shed with his mom, basically, and it's the only world he knows. And so it is very different from YA, but I feel like it's a great transition into the adult genre because...
I agree. It's a good branch. It's very simple.
Yeah, like, it's pretty easy to read and simple, but still being very complex and well-plotted, and the characters are, like, so good. So I feel like that one could be a good option for Maggie. My last book I wanted to recommend is kind of based on the Divergent, and I'm assuming she's probably also read The Hunger Games. So I wanted to pick kind of another dystopian-type book, and that is The Long Walk by Stephen King. I talked about this, I think, on the first episode of the podcast, but I'm bringing it back. This is one of the Stephen King books where he was writing as Richard Bachman. And it's basically about a bunch of 16-year-old boys. There's 100 of them who apply to be in this long walk. And they basically just start at one point, and whoever is the last person at the, you know, they just walk as long as they can, and the last person standing or walking is the winner, and they win a huge prize. And so it's kind of dystopian and Hunger Gamesy in that a bunch of teenagers die and, like, are competing against each other basically in this kind of death race, and it's very, you know, it's kind of like Stand By Me, but, like, in a dystopian setting. So if you like that kind of vibe, like coming of age young boys just, like, being silly together, it's a really good book, but it also is kind of dark and violent. So full disclosure, it's not, like, a light read, but if you enjoyed The Hunger Games, you'll probably like this book. So those are my recommendations.
I think those are really good, and I actually really agree with what you're saying. Like, if you're used to YA, which has younger characters, it would be a good move to read an adult book about a younger character.
Yeah.
I actually think that that's brilliant. So, good work there. I'm trying to think that the fact that you just recommended a dystopian is making me think that there was a dystopian I read that was a classic, and I remember thinking that it was very approachable, but I don't remember what it was. It doesn't really matter. But that's another way to kind of think about, like, if there's a genre that you like science fiction. If you jump from YA science fiction to adult science fiction, there's going to be a lot there that you recognize and that is familiar to you, even though some things might be a bit different, I think, overall. I love that. Okay, well, the book that I picked, I really, this is an honorary mention. I really wanted to mention an absolutely remarkable thing. I talk about it too much, so I'm not going to talk about it too much more, but basically, it is very plot driven. Mm-hmm. The characters are in their early 20s and they're on a big adventure. So because of that, it is very, very accessible to, I think, teen readers.
Yeah, I agree
think
with that.
That teen readers would totally be like, yep, this is totally normal. This isn't like a huge step up. But it's also got a lot of adult ideas. The writing is a bit more serious than you might see in YA. So definitely recommend that one.
Yep.
But the one I wanted to talk about mainly is another one I talked too much about. Basically, I got so excited and I was looking through my shelves and I was like, Ariel, choose something that you have talked less about. And I was like, but these are the perfect recommendations. So here we are. And it is My Year of Rest and Relaxation by Otessa Moshfegh.
Very good.
So this one, it's controversial. I mean, like, I could see some people thinking that it's not a good pick for this. I think that it is. Again, the main reason is because the main character is in her early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, you haven't read it, right?
No, and actually I forgot to include it in my book haul. I just bought this book recently.
You're right. You sent it to me and you have the paperback. I'm really jealous because I want the paperback.
Sorry.
The main character is in her early 20s, and the book has such a straightforward plot in that it's about this girl who is very depressed. A lot of crap has been going on in her life, and she somehow convinced herself that the best way to move on to the next stage in her life is by allowing herself to sleep for a year. She just gets it in her head that if she gets to rest and, like, sleep for a whole year, she'll come out of this hibernation, like, renewed, refreshed, ready for a new life. And so the way that she goes about this is by, like, first just trying to sleep. She trains herself to try and sleep for longer and longer periods, but then she also, like, starts taking medication to, like, sleeping pills and stuff. So it's a very basic concept. It's not very complicated. It's not very, like... This is another big thing for me. It doesn't have a lot of characters. This was a big reason why I wanted this one. I think that YA doesn't usually have that many characters, so it's pretty easy to follow, whereas some adult books have so many characters, and there's so much, like, history between them, and you have to learn about so many, like, friend networks and history networks and stuff, and it can get a little confusing.
Yeah.
This has two characters, really.
I love the main,
it's really the story of this one girl, and she's just trying to think her way through this weird time in her life, and then occasionally you see her best friend. Like, that's literally basically it. There's, like, one other character who's there for a couple of chapters, and then he's gone. You know what I mean? So, I think that that helps it be a very straightforward, simple story, but it, in my opinion, showcases a lot of the best parts of adult fiction, like why I read adult fiction. It has really interesting ideas, really thought-provoking passages and concepts, things that I didn't used to see very much in YA. Maybe YA has changed and stuff like this is happening in YA, you know what I mean? But a lot, and also, like, just the writing is gorgeous. I love the writing in this book. And so I think that it you can catch on to it even if you're just used to reading YA, but you'll get a lot of the fun, cool stuff that you get out of reading adult.
That's cool. Gosh. I love that recommendation. I love seeing all the different ways that you can recommend that book. It's fit into so many different recommendations, and I'm not saying that, like, as a bad thing. It's cool.
Yeah.
It makes me want to read it more. Like, it works for so many different reasons, and I'm like, why haven't I read that yet?
I want you to read it. I really want you to read it. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to the podcast. We've made it to the end here. This was a fun one. I hope that we helped out Ashley and Maggie. Did we? I'm not sure. Maybe I didn't.
I don't know.
You might have. I'm not sure if I did. So we're off to record our Patreon bonus podcast. We're so grateful to our patrons who are supporting this and making this whole podcast possible. We're actually scheming a lot of fun extra content for our patrons for when Raylene is here. So if you want to check that, well, yeah, this episode comes out during that week when you're going to be here. So some of that fun stuff will start being posted this week and in the following weeks. So definitely go check it out, and you'll be able to listen to our bonus podcast. So today, what I'm going to do in our bonus podcast is kind of a weird one. Instead of asking you a question, I'm going to ask you to go back through every year of your reading challenge on Goodreads and tell me, like, the book that had your favorite book of the year, the least favorite book of the year, and your favorite cover from that year.
I love that.
So we're going to do this together. I think it's going to be really fun. I'm going to do it too. And if you want to hear, like, our thoughts on this, I just think it's going to be fun to kind of, like, go back and go back through the years.
Definitely.
Yeah, so if you want to go check that out, that's on our Patreon, and we love you guys so much. Thank you so much. We've been scheming, because our Patreon's been growing, and we're really appreciative. We've been scheming of, like, new episode ideas for the podcast, because when we hit a certain point, we want to start doing more episodes per month, which will be a lot of fun. So yeah. Wait, before we go, actually, I wanted to say a big hello to our new community manager, Mars Grove. Okay, so Mars is a friend of mine. She's amazing, and she's now our community manager, which means she's running our Patreon, she's running our Instagram, and she's also going to be poking around on our Discord server, which I absolutely am excited about, because, you know, when we have someone doing that job for us, it helps the community run so much better.
Yes, definitely.
So super excited to have Mars as part of the Books Unbound family, and super, super grateful to everyone who supports the Patreon, because it means that we can be, like, literally hiring people. It's amazing. I love it.
It's great.
So thank you to our patrons, and hello to Mars. And that's it. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.